You are now tuned in. Blog Talk Radio. Norma Chapman, Pastor Doris Smith, the host of Facing Your Faith. Evangelist Norma Chapman. Ms. Chapman has interviewed many guests that have been an inspiration as well as a blessing to me. She's the author of What Can and currently writing three other books. She dedicated to administering Greater Church under the leadership of Dr. Calvin W. Woods, Jr., sits on the NAACP Executive Committee and formerly a member of SCLC Justice for Girls. Pastor Doris Smith, co-host, Mr. Smith, retired after service in the government from the position of procurement supervisor. She's a pastor, a teacher, an author, a certified professional speaker, a life and inspirational coach, and the host of the Power Hour, Line of Inspiration and Motivation. A caregiver, a beautiful wife, a wonderful mother, a grandmother, and just an all-around people person. And now it's time for Facing Your Fears with evangelist Norma Chapman, with her co-host, Pastor Doris Smith.
Good evening to all of our listeners on today. Yes, you are now tuned in. And to Facing Your Fears radio talk show hosted by yours truly, evangelist Dr. Norma Chapman, with our awesome co-hostess, Apostle Doris Smith out of Miami, Florida, and evangelist Jerry Perkins out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. As always, let's bow our heads for our opening prayer by our co-host.
Father, we just thank you tonight and we praise you. We lift you up and magnify your name. As we come together tonight, Lord, to pour from Facing Your Fears radio talk show into the world, we say thank you for your visionary, Dr. Chapman, who you have given the vision. And as we come together, our sisters in Christ tonight, to share the seven sayings, we pray that as this word go forth, that it will be a blessing to all that's connected, helping you to understand, praise God, that there is truly no greater love than the love of Jesus Christ, an exemplification of what he showed on his way to the cross. Nobody could take his life, but he laid it down. Father, we say thank you, and we give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. It be unto you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Now we're going to bring into the
studio
with us one of our special guests for us today, as she surrenders a solo for us, none other than the evangelist, the elect lady, evangelist Susan King. She's going to bring us a short solo at this time. I'll bring her live into the studio now. Evangelist Susan King. Evangelist Susan King, solo, please. All right, we're going to move right along with our show on today.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Can you
now,
hear me? God gave his son, and they call him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He bled and he died just to buy my pardon. And in empty grave, is that to prove my Savior lives? And because he live, I can face tomorrow, because Jesus lives. All my fears, they are gone, and I know who holds my future and life is worth living just because he lives.
Amen, amen. We want to thank thank Lady Susan King for that awesome, awesome solo on today. Moving right along now because we have a lot to do on today. And we want to just thank our co-host for that awesome prep. Listen, we have another awesome parrot for you on today. Today we have four special guests in the studio with us. And before I bring them live into the studio, we will get into our topic. Before we get into our topic for today, we want to welcome our four special guests that will be coming on shortly. Our topic for today is the last seven sins from the cross. Yes, the last seven sins from the cross. As our guests come forth and present their presentation on the sin that they are assigned to for today, they will introduce themselves, give us a very, very, very short bio about themselves, and then they will then I would bring them back, and then they would start their presentation as we go forward with the seven sins on today. Our special guests are Minister Rolette Rose, Minister Diane Adams, Elect Lady Evangelist Susan King, and Evangelist Joyce Jock. We want to welcome you to Facing Your Fears Radio Talk Show. We are so very happy and blessed to have you to be a part of our special show for today. Our topic for today, as I said, is the last seven sins from the cross. Now, we're going to begin with our first sin for today. And we're going to bring her in the studio with us, none other than Minister Rolette Rose. I'm sorry, it would be Minister Joyce Jock. She'll be doing the first thing, which is forgiveness. And she'll be coming from Luke chapter 23, verse 24. And if I am not correct, she will correct it when she gets into the studio. And I'm bringing her in live. Now, good afternoon to you, Minister Joyce Jock. How are you today?
Good afternoon. I'm fine, thank you. My name is Joyce Jock.
Yes, can you give our listeners a little bio about yourself, dear?
My name is Evangelist Joyce Jock. I reside in Letcher, Louisiana. I am the Women Director of Central Union Missionary Baptist Association. Our president is Pastor Willie Smith. I have one daughter and two grandsons that lives in Orlando, Florida. My pastor is Elder Oscar R. Nelson, and I'm a member of the Mount Isley Baptist Church where I serve as Sunday School Superintendent.
All right. We just happy to have you on Facing Your Fears on today. We're not going to prolong the time. We just read into your saying at this time you'll be doing the first saying. You may now present your saying to our listeners. You may go
ahead. Amen. Thank you. I'm going to talk today on Luke 23 and 34, the very first word from the cross. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. We are very familiar with this particular saying. Jesus, even while hanging on the old rugged cross, bleeding, pierced in his side, his head with thorns, blood going all down his face, yet he's still praying to his Father to forgive them. This is one of the greatest things that he died and purchased for us, is the act of forgiveness of sin. And in Matthew 5 and 44, he says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you." And here we have God's only begotten Son, one who knew no sin, yet he took on sin for our sake, for yours and mine. He's hanging on an old rugged cross, the lowest form of death. Crucifixion was more for the slave than for a king. But his body acting in pain and agony, yet he's still praying earnestly to his Father to forgive his enemies, for they know not what they do. Even these enemies was not showing any remorse to him. They were adamant to execute their devious plan that they had set out to do. They couldn't trap him. They couldn't stop him from saving souls. They couldn't stop him from healing the sick. They couldn't stop him from raising the dead. And yet they couldn't stop him from making the lame to walk and the dumb to talk. They couldn't stop him because he only came to do good. It was already prophesied that he would come and he would be the one that take away the sins of the world. Even though they couldn't find no fault, no legitimate reason to kill them, they were going to do it because they were threatened by his power and his teaching to everyone about saving souls. So here we have a Savior hanging on an old rugged cross, praying for the same one who was out to kill him, the same one who defiled his ruling, the same one that didn't even listen to the king, Pilate, and Herod, even though they found no fault in this man, no fault that they declared that they would kill him. Priests and the Roman soldiers and the Jews, they were adamant about going through because Jesus was doing more than they ever did, and they couldn't stand that. They accused him of all kind of unjust, but he knew he had a job to do. He knew he was here for a purpose, and that purpose had to be fulfilled. They couldn't stand the fact that he had accomplished more than them and was still doing it. So their goal was to destroy him, to crucify him. Yet, the Jews knew that during this feast, one prisoner had to be released. So they took that to their advantage. They told Pilate that they wanted to have Jesus crucified. He gave them a choice, Jesus or Barabbas. But even though Barabbas a known murderer, yet they chose a murderer over a king. They were insistent and demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. So with their voices at that point, Pilate just gave over to them. But Pilate knew in his heart that Jesus was sinless, that he was innocent, and that he was being treated unjustly. But he gave over to them the desires that they wanted. They wanted to crucify a king. All his tormentors, the Jews and the Romans, they were not aware of who they had. They were not aware of the full scope of their wickedness that they were doing. They refused to recognize Jesus as a true Messiah. Even after all that he had done, they couldn't accept him for being who he really was. They were blind to the light of divine truth, for they already had understood it, but they just refused to listen. So they wanted to crucify the Lord of glory. Still during their ignorance, certainly did not mean that they deserve forgiveness, but Jesus being the man that he is, being a merciful God, being a forgiving God, he still prayed to his Father. He called on his Father to forgive them in spite of. Forgive them for they know not what they do. He said, if you do this to a green tree, what would you do to a dry one? God is still being merciful to them. He's still looking out for them. Rather than their spiritual blindness itself was manifested by their guilt. And our scripture, John 3:19, says that this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, and because their deeds are evil. So Christ, praying to his Father, while they were in the very act of mocking him, is an expression of the boundless compassion of divine grace. We know his grace and his mercy is for everlasting. So even though that was not enough for them, they even cast lots for his remnant. And we know that the executor is customary for them that they divide the victim clothes among themselves. And even today, over 2,000 years later, our Lord and Master, our Redeemer, our true and living God, our sovereign God, he's still interceding for us. He's seated at the right hand of his Father and asking God today to forgive us of all our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He asking him to grant us mercy and grace every day. He given us his unmerited favor, something we don't deserve, but he love us just that much. He love us in spite of our sins, in spite of our unrighteousness. We thank God today that he's faithful to us, but are we faithful to him? So I thank God today, even today, over 2,000 years later, he's still pleading to his Father to forgive us. He's our mediator. He's there forever. We are forever giving thanks to him for all the things that he has done, for all the things that he's still doing. We give him praise. We give him honor and we give him glory, for he deserves the praises of his people. Christ is on the cross, is gracious, but he's still Christ upon the throne of God. And I thank you.
God bless you. God bless you. We truly enjoyed that first saying coming from none other than Beverly Joyce Jott. I am the host of Dr. Chapman, the host of Faith in the Tears. I will be coming with the second saying. But listeners, remember, you too can join in on this awesome show on today just by pressing that number one on your phone. If you have any comments, questions, I just want to share your thoughts on today's topic. Today we're talking about the last seven sayings from the cross. Yes, the last seven sayings from the cross. I'm going to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'll be coming to you during the second saying. And I'll be coming from Luke, the 23rd chapter of Luke, starting at 42 and 43 verse. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. 43rd verse said, Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise. Now, there are a lot of people who call themselves Christians who do not grip what it really means to find, there's one question that what it really means to find that I found there's one question that helps sift out the meaning of paradise. Now the question is, do you know for sure that you, when you die, if you die today, you will go to heaven? That's an important question. It's the question. How would you answer it? Do you know for sure you are going to heaven? How can we know for sure? And how can we help others that we love and care for to know for sure about their eternal destiny? We must go to the cross to find the answer. Jesus answered this question for us in his second saying from the cross. It records in Luke 23, verse 43. Verily, I say unto thee, today you will be with me in paradise. When Jesus hung on the cross, he uttered seven life-changing announcements. In the previous chapter, we pondered the first, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In that prayer, Jesus interceded for all those who put him on the cross. In it, he also intervened into their behavior. Do not interfere with the crucifixion. Let it happen. And thirdly, Jesus indicated himself when he said, Father, forgive them, for implying understanding was a condemning. He took our place. How did the crowd at the cross respond to Jesus saying, oh, friend, what a sight. Luke highlighted several responses in his gospel. The people stood beholding. They stared with hateful defeats. We will not have this man to rule over us. The rulers denied him. Can you hear them scorning and screaming at Jesus on the cross? The soldiers mocked him. They made a game out of their job. The first thief railed at him. And notice this, the rulers and the soldiers and the first thief all huddled the same assessment at Jesus. What was it? If he be the Christ, let him save himself. If he be the Christ, let him save himself. The soldiers, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. Malefactor, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. Save yourself. Why, even the sign nailed to his cross labeled him as the king. What kind of king was this that would die a criminal death on a cross? Save yourself. Save yourself. But Jesus hung in silence. And as he did, the eyes of the second ancestor fixed on him. He had never in his life met anyone like this man. Then by the grace of God, things amazing happened to that one-hearted criminal. He obtained eternal life. How? Two great events occurred on Calvary Hill that day. First, at the cross, a man admitted he needed his need for eternal life. Luke verses 39 and 40 through 42. Who was that man? There was various legends about him. One that his name was Demichus. The fact is, y'all give me some time because I got so much in front of me here. We knew very little about him. That he was executed on Roman's cross saying something. He was a criminal and versus criminal. He had been malice to society so that court system decided he should go to no longer live. He was sentenced to die by crucifixion. Yet, while hanging on the cross, something happened in his heart. The Spirit of God was working. We can tell by what he said in verse 40. He rebuked the first thief. Does not thou fear God? He defended Jesus. That's quite a change. Jesus, minutes before, him himself had been mocked. Jesus, Mark chapter 15, verses 32, say, and they that was crucified with him rebelled him. What happened to the second malefactor? What made the difference? There on the cross, he recognized true life-changing truth. He recognized the truth about himself. Some people never do this. It's painful to admit the truth about ourselves. So we try to hide the truth or ignore it. But there on the cross, just hours away from eternity, the second thief admitted to painful truths about himself. I am guilty. You would find it in verse 40. Does thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly. That's verse 40 and 41. What he's saying here is the reason we're here on these crosses today is because we are guilty. We've broken the law, man's law, but ultimately God's law. We are sinners. We are under the judgment of God. He said, but here, and the first painful truth the thief admits, I am guilty. I deserve punishment. So we receive the due rewards of our deeds. You see here, that second thief was telling the first when he was crying out, if you are the king, then save yourself and then save us too. But something began to happen with that second criminal. He began to recognize that I'm about to die here, and I've heard about eternal life. I've heard about this man teaching about eternal life. And if he is the Son of God, he can give me eternal life. That thief recognized that that day on the cross. That alone did not save him. Why? What did? What did save him? When he recognized the truth about Jesus, he recognized the truth about Jesus. What did he recognize about Jesus? Two qualifications here. Jesus is sinless, but this man had done nothing amiss. Jesus had lived a perfect life, still the law of God. He went to the cross not because he was guilty, but because we are guilty. He did it for us. The thief recognized something about Jesus. Jesus can save. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What caused the thief to repent? What drove him to turn to Jesus in faith? What made the difference? There were three reasons. The first was what he saw. When the thief looked into the face of Jesus, he saw love. The second was what he felt. He felt the heavy load of his guilt and shame. He had washed his life. He had washed his life. He was a man who was enslaved to his past. The chains of his sin held him fast. He wanted to be free. So in final hour, he longed to have the weight removed. Was it possible? The third reason here is the thief addressed Jesus was because of what he heard. The words of Jesus rang like a church bell in his ears. Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Why Jesus forgave his murderers. Maybe I can have hope too. Maybe he can save me too. That's what that criminal began to think. If he's asking for forgiveness, and these people, the soldiers and all the haters that stand around the cross are crying out, and they've been beat him all night long and done all kind of mad evils to him. If he's asking his father to forgive them, what about me today? I can be forgiven too. That's what that thief recognized in Jesus. Lord, and he cried out. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the application here is to have eternal life. We must do exactly what that second thief did. First, we must admit the truth about ourselves. We are guilty sinners. We deserve the punishment of a holy God. And secondly, we must admit the truth about Jesus. He is sinless, and he alone can save. Perhaps you are thinking right now, it was too late for that thief, wasn't it? After all, he wasted all his life. His sins was so great, wasn't it? Lots of people feel like that. That it's too late for them today. Like they blowed it once too many times. That's what makes the story so extraordinary. Look, let's watch here how Jesus responded. The first great event occurred that day was this. At the cross, a man admitted he needed his need for eternal life. Now we come to the second. At the cross, Jesus provided eternal life in verse 43. Verse 43 says, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. What an amazing announcement. It reveals three things about our Savior. And Jesus' statement reveals his condition. Also, the word verily is actually the word amen. You say, amen, today you shall be with me in paradise. It denotes absolutely certainty. It reminds us that though he was nailed to the cross, he was in absolute control. He was still in control. He was still in control of his life. Even though he was in pain and he was hung there on the cross over the destiny of the sinners, he had control to still save. He had control to still forgive. He had control to still announce that today, if you recognize who I am and accept me as your personal Savior, today, not tomorrow, but today, you should. shall be with me in paradise. Today you will be with me. Your destiny has been changed today. Jesus was telling that thief on that cross. How long does it take to be converted? Friends, they are there as the thief grips his final breath. He calls out to Jesus, and there in that moment, his eternal destiny was changed. Hallelujah, somebody. The implication here is that the story of the represents thief cuts right through. The reputation of that thief cuts right through a lot of faults. Yet popular theorists, let me ask you this. What was the thief? Was the thief saying that day on the cross? He was. Jesus said his destiny was changed. Though he was never baptized, he was saved. Though he would never participated in a garment or a part of a church, he was saved. Though he never joined the church, he was saved. Jesus didn't say he had to be put in some time to be saved. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. When was he saved? When he repented and trusted in Jesus. What the key here is, what gives Jesus authority to control this man's destiny over his own destiny? Today thou shall be with me in paradise. With me, oh beloved, do you know that what was in store in a few moments, his heavenly Father would turn his back on him. He would endure the wrath of God in our place. There on the cross, he would face the blackness of hell. Satan would huddle all his spirits at the Son of God. The devil will seek to destroy God's anointed. Would be succeed? Fix your eyes on these words with me. Jesus knew the unspeakable agony was coming. He was aware of the terror which he would face alone. Yet even in his blackest hour, he was in control of his own destiny. He knew that he would conquer sin, he will conquer death, and he will conquer evil one. Today shall there be with me in paradise. Jesus revealed his control. Jesus' statement revealed his compassion. Verily I say unto thee, sometimes we forget that both thieves appeared to Jesus that day. Both called out to him. Both even had a faith of sorts. When did the first thief say, save thyself and us? He asked Jesus to save him. Didn't he do that? But something was missing. He had no remorse for sin. The second thief was different. He wanted to be saved, not from his cross, but from his sins, for which man did sin have compassion. The one who repented, let the words that sink into our minds today. So many who come to him are like that other thief. They want to confess his name had done no further than the first thief. They wanted to escape a will discomfort and pain. They are not particularly interested in him for his own sake. The gospel here has been greatly distorted by many in our days. Many more than a few gospel representation appeal to felt needs and be past man's real needs. Here, as I have been talking about paradise, let us remember paradise. What did Jesus mean by paradise? The Jewish raps in Jesus' days taught that unseen world was a succession of spiritual realms. According to them, there were seven heavens, one above others, and ascending to glory. You find it in John, and the highest in the seventh was paradise. In Revelation, it tells us about paradise, where we'll be going and what it will look like when we all get to heaven. And this day, when Jesus said, today shall thou be with me in paradise. He was saying, I have completed the work the Father gave me to do. I have redeemed a person who will enjoy the glories of eternity with God. Oh, friend, Jesus' salvation is complete. Are deathbed conversations real? Some are and some isn't. There was one real. Jesus' words to the thief that was hanging there remind us that it is never too late. It's never too late for us to come to Jesus. I don't want to go over my minutes and my time here. I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to conclude my saying in reference to paradise. All right, listeners, you still have a chance to press that number one if you have any questions, comments, or just want to share your thoughts on today's topic, the last seven sayings on the cross. Now we're going to bring live into the studio with the third saying, which will be coming. But we're going to welcome into the studio with us now. The third saying will be coming from our very own evangelist, Gary Perkins. My God, why have thou forsaken me, evangelist Perkins?
Good evening. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Matthew 27:46. Here is an account of Christ dying as a ransom for our souls. Christ was the Prince of Sufferers. Man had become blinded with sin. Christ saw how sin has a hold on man. He knew without help from God, humanity would perish. Christ was our substitute. He was that he might redeem us from the condemnation of the law. The scripture says, from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness was all over the land. The darkness signified the present cloud which the human soul of Christ was under when he was making it an offering for sin. Our Lord was denied the light of the sun when he was in his suffering to signify the withdrawing of the light of God's countenance, and God's presence was hidden. The Father was with his Son, but his presence was not revealed. In that hour, Christ was not to be comforted with his Father. Fellowship with the Father had been broken. Jesus taking the place of sinners. He could not call God Father. He must call him God. The sins of all those God had given him and the covenant of redemption was up on him. He was taking our place, dying for our sins. He could only address the Father as my God. Fellowship with the Father had been broken. Toward the close of this darkness, our Lord Jesus cried out, Eli, Eli, sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Those that stood by said, he called Eli, cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Is a fulfillment of Psalm 22:1. It is a difficult situation to understand what Jesus meant when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God approved of his work. He had not forfeited the favor of God. He was holy. He was harmless, undefiled, and he was obedient. God still loved him. God would not have forsaken him. The suffering Jesus endured was for us, that we might be saved and gain eternal life. Satan's purpose was to divorce mercy from truth and justice. Satan seeks out to prove that the righteousness of God's law is an enemy to peace. Christ showed us mercy and truth are knit together. By his life and his death, Christ proved that God's justice did not destroy his mercy, but that sin could be forgiven and that the law is righteous and can be perfectly obeyed. Satan's charge was proven to be wrong. God had given man evidence of his love. Jesus knew of no sin, yet he hung on the cross, a world of sin upon him. Jesus hung there on the cross. No one came to comfort him in his dying hour. When Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, he resisted the devil from his presence, and he fled from him. The angels came and ministered unto him. In Gethsemane, when Jesus fell upon his face until the pores of his skin opened and the blood came, Luke 22:43, angels came down and comforted him. Now when Jesus is going the last mile of the way, when he is dying on Calvary cross, no angel came to comfort him. No angel came to strengthen the Son of God. No man offered Jesus a drink of water. The angry mob walked all around the cross, making every kind of accusation against Jesus. But none would offer him one word of comfort or hope. The sixth hour until the night hour. It got dark that day. About noon, the sun refused to shine. The stars was nowhere to be seen when Jesus was dying. The moon refused to give its light when Jesus was dying. Before the night hour, the Lord Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus, the fountain of life, he suffered unjustly. Because he said he was the Son of God, he was the spotless Lamb of God, yet he hung on the cross. He was lacerated with stripes. His hands that reached out and blessed many has now been nailed to the cross. His feet that carried him from place to place, showing his love, was now nailed to the cross. Crown of thorns pierced his raw head. His lips quivered as he cried, woe. Jesus endured the blood drops that flowed from his head, hands, and feet. The agony of pain was all over his body. He bare the burden for you and I. Jesus, he is the one filled the angry waves, walked the billows, made the devil tremble and disease flee. Jesus made the blind man to see. Jesus called forth and the dead came to life. At Calvary, Jesus paid the debt. Jesus paid for our sin. He paid the sin and the death was canceled. Jesus paid it all. It is Christ's blood that redeems us, satisfies us, saves us, purges us, and makes us to acceptable. Back to the host.
Amen, amen. We truly enjoyed that good thing coming from our very story. That was the step I went to the fourth thing, and I'm sorry because we should have had the third thing by Minister Rolex rolled up with the first thing that Ms. Perkins just did. I was hoping she recognized you, but she got into her sermon, and I didn't want to stop. I was hoping she recognized that she was the fourth and not. Now we will have the third thing by none other. Mother, behold thy son, behold thy mother. And that's coming from Minister Rolex Rose, John 19. Verses 26 and 27, which is the third sin. You've already heard the fourth sin. The next sin we have will be the fifth and the sixth sin. Minister Rolex, you may begin your discussion on your presentation now.
Yes, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
First, giving obedience to the Trinity, to the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit, to Dr. Chapman, co-host Apostle Smith, Evangelist Perkins, to my church family, my pastor, Reverend Michael Spoilo, ministerial staff of Pilgrim Rest Baptist Church Number 2 family, and to all our listeners, we greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is indeed an honor as well as a privilege to come before you on tonight to bring you the third saying of Jesus our Lord from the cross. Amen. Father, we thank you for this blessed opportunity to be a part of your divine plan. I ask you to decrease me, your servant, that the people may hear your voice. I come in the name of Jesus to deliver your word. Set your word high above everything else. Fresh anointed fall on me in Jesus' name. The third utterance of Jesus from the cross, recorded by John, chapter 19, and I'll read verses 25 through 27. It says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his home. The text, as we look at the writing of the Apostle John, he brings us the third word. And at a climax of Jesus' early ministry unfolding, we have the final scenes of Jesus according to God's plan of redemption for man. Jesus is at his highest climax of what God had sent him to do. He has been betrayed by Judas Iscariot. They watched him from judgment hall to judgment hall. They beat him all night long for you and I. They cast lots for his vesture that the scripture might be fulfilled. Jesus, all-knowing and all-sufficient, facing one of the darkest hours of his life, carried by love on a hill called Golgotha, the place of the skull, placed in the middle of two thieves, a crime he did not commit, filled with pain, agony, and at the point of maximum humiliation, dying the worst death, the crucifixion. Jesus shows us his final act of devotion, to entrust his mother to his beloved disciple, whom he loved. Now in verse 20, Jesus had asked the Father to forgive them, for they know not what they do. He remembers the thief on the right. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise, giving redemption to those who come in repentance. Now, as Jesus knew the pain she felt watching the suffering and death of her son, unable to lift a finger, looks down from the cross and sees his mother, lays aside his own pain, and provides relief for her by entrusting her to John, his closest friend. We see Jesus continues to demonstrate his love toward us by this act of devotion. Amen. We see Jesus' selfless act of love of a son as he cares for his mother's well-being. And his debt, Jesus gives his mother to John, the one whom he loves. You see, John, the disciple Jesus, had a special bond, which recorded the third of the seven best sayings of Jesus, the words of Jesus to his mother, Mary, and to John. Mary had seen more than her share of sorrows in her life with Jesus, amen? Now seeing her grown son hated by people and forsaken by friends, she stood by the cross of Jesus. No doubt Simeon's words to her when Jesus, the baby, returned to mind. This child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, recorded in Luke 2 and 34 through 35. But yet here was Jesus intensely suffering, but thinking of the needs of the mother who had loved him and making sure she be cared for by Jesus. Amen. While much of the story of his last hours
highlights his relationship with his heavenly father. This reveals the honor he felt for his human mother. Amen. And he comes and he records in verse 26. He says, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Woman, behold thy son. He calls her woman. Woman did not mean disrespect. It meant to comfort out of respect and to protect her identity from the evil men around the cross. You see, Jesus' love for his mother was a signal of his love for his church. Mary represents you and I. You see, Jesus loves us with an everlasting love, and he cares about his flock, amen, his sheep. During the testings and trials of life, we must know with the assurance that Jesus loves us with an everlasting love. You see, as he hung on the cross, as he made provision for his mother, in one of the most selfless acts of devotion, this relationship of deity was given towards all of us who accept this gift of love. I come to let somebody know that Jesus is our provider. He is providing a way for you and me through the cross. You see, Jesus in all his deity did not forget about being 100% man. As he places his mother in the hands of his beloved disciple, and my brothers and sisters, can you see Jesus interjecting in your life? During him being crucified, he looks down at his mother and to let her know that his love is everlasting to everlasting. Brothers and sisters, take comfort in knowing that Jesus is our all in all. See, Jesus interjects this third utterance from the cross. He shows us the love of God during our tests. You see, whenever we're being tested and tried, trust the process that God will make a way out of no way. My brothers and my sisters, trust the process to know that God will take care of you. He is able to take care of us. Amen. He makes provision for his mother. He, as she too is suffering. Amen. We find these words as she watches her son transition into the Savior, not clearly understanding what it all means. She remains faithful to the word of God. Amen. And we come tonight for a few minutes as we continue in this life. We too must remain faithful to the word of God. I can just see Mary pondering it all in her heart that God will provide. He will take care of us. Amen. And I can look at the scripture and it says, behold, look when your situation seems dark. Jesus is light of the world. He turns your midnight into day. Behold, she says, look when you and I don't see our way out, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Behold, look, when you and I are suffering from the lost loved one, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Behold, my brothers and my sisters, look, trust don't last always, because Jesus is the Alpha and he is the Omega. He is the beginning and he is the end. Behold, I tell you tonight, take a look at Jesus upon the cross. Take a look at his compassion for the world. Take a look at his compassion toward his mother. Take a look at how he handed her over to his beloved disciple who was faithful until the end. Take a look at how all the other disciples scattered, but John stayed with Jesus all the way to the end. And I come to let us know tonight, my brothers and sisters, the blessing is in our commitment. The blessing is in our faithfulness. The blessing is in knowing that Jesus is able to make all grace abound toward us. Even though Mary's heart was breaking, she didn't realize at the time that she was transitioning her baby boy to be the salvation of the world. Hallelujah. I come to let us know tonight we can trust in the living and true and living God. Isaiah 43 and says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through and rivers. They shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. I just want to stop by tonight to let our listening audience know that love is an action word. Jesus always acted in love. Amen. We heard our first saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This was an act of love. Jesus was praying for those who were crucifying him. He was praying for those who despitefully used him. He was praying for those because they did not know what they was doing. But I come to let you know it is all about the love of God. We must have the love of God and brought it in our hearts. I come to let us know that Jesus Christ, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth upon him should not perish. Can you just see it? When he calls her, he said, woman, behold thy son. And he went back and he told his beloved disciple, behold thy mother. God was making a transition. He was transitioning from his earthly mother into a trusted believer's hand. And that's who we are as believers of Christ. God has entrusted us with his love. He has entrusted us to tell a lost and dying world that there is a reality in serving a true and a living God. I just stop by to let our listening audience know that we must operate out of love. We must call upon the name of Jesus. Jesus is our way maker. He is our all in all. I've come to let us know tonight, even though he's all knowing and all sufficiency, he still operated out of love. It wasn't the nails that held him to the cross. It wasn't the nails that held him. I tell us tonight that it was love. It was love that lifted him. And just like he had Mary, just like he kept his mother, he took care of Mary. Jesus is still able to take care of you and I. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Keep your focus upon Jesus. Keep your, oh God, in the name of Jesus, just stay steadfast and unmovable. But tonight, just like my second saying was today, if we do all the things that God has commanded us, he commanded that we love ye one another as he had loved us. This is the greatest demonstration of love that he has ever, that one of the greatest demonstrations of love that we have in our text with his last saying on the cross. He stopped dying to take care of his mother. He stopped in the midst of his agony and his pain to take care of his mother because he already had the victory, amen, but he wanted to make sure his mother was taken care of. And he didn't call her mother. He called the woman out of respect, out of reverence to who she was. Amen. And tonight, if you hear my voice and you don't know this Jesus in the pardon of your sin, this is your opportunity. Amen. Because God loves you and I with an everlasting love. May God bless you and may God keep you. This is my prayer. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Joy. Minister, oh, that she both mother, behold thy son, and son, behold thy mother. All right, listen, you still have a chance to press that number one on your phone if you have any comments, questions, or just want to share your thoughts. I just want to give encouraging words on today. Press that number one. At that time, I bring you live into the studio with it. All right, listeners, we have heard the first saying, forgiveness. We have heard the second saying, paradise where God saved. We have heard the third saying, mother, showing compassion for his mother. And we have heard the fourth saying that when he had came into a natural being and asking his father, why have thou forsaken me? Now we're about to go into our fifth saying. And the fifth saying will be coming from our very own co-host, Apostle Doris Smith, with I thirst, coming from John 19. And I don't know what verse she's going to start at this time. Co-host, you may begin your presentation.
God bless you, Dr. Chapman. Praise God. God bless all of the servants of the Most High God tonight as we share these last sayings, these last words of Jesus. I bless the name of the Lord tonight. Praise God as I sit here And I just reminisce back understanding, praise God, the price that he paid for us. A price, praise God, that we put on him. He bare the sins of humanity. He carried the weight of all our sins. Never knew sin, never committed sin. Innocent blood was shed, but he was the only one that qualified to open the door for you and I to have a chance at eternal life. Nobody else qualified. And tonight as we go into the fifth saying, he said, I thirst. Knowing that all things were now accomplished, your might be fulfilled, Jesus said, I thirst. Praise God tonight as we look at John 19 and 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. What was Jesus really saying? What he was really saying is that in his human form, he was thirsty. He was in a place, praise God, in this place of physical exhaustion, that Jesus declared that I'm thirsty. Wouldn't you be thirsty after being out in the heat of the sun? Just imagine in a state called Florida, any other very hot state where the sun is beating down on you for hours. Not only that, take into consideration the physical pain that he was feeling. Good God Almighty, this is caused a severe dehydration. So what Jesus is really saying here, listen, I'm thirsty. I'm dehydrated. The sun has drained me. He's speaks, praise God, of his own thirst, out of a real human need for the substance and the relief to need for this water. There are times and places in our life, praise God, when we're out of doing things within a day, that no matter what we drink, there's nothing that can quench our thirst, praise God, like some good fresh cold water. But here Jesus is on the cross. He is physically thirsty. And this is why he's saying, you got to understand something here. Everything that you and I would ever suffer in this world, every pain that we would ever feel, every heartache that we would ever deal with, every disappointment, every shame, he has already gone through it. He understands what it means and what it feels like to be in a place to thirst. He understands what it feels like to be lied on, to be whipped, to have crowns of thorns pressed on his head, to be accused of things that he did not do. He knows what it feels like. So when we go to the Lord, praise God, listen, there's nothing you and I could tell him about any kind of pain in our body that he don't already know. There's nothing you and I could tell him about hurt, what hurt feel like, and that they hurt us and what they did to us, he already know. Listen here, he was going through this physical exhaustion, and look, all of what he was doing it because of the love that he had for you and I. No greater love than to lay his life down. Listen here, they could not take it. So the only way it would be done out of love, he had to lay it down. He loved you and I so much. Praise God. You got to understand something here. Sin separates. So as he's on his way, praise God, making this final, praise God, submission, praise God, dying, giving up his life, praise God, he is saying, nevertheless, not my will, but I'm doing the will of my Father. It's not about my will. Yes, this sin has fought us of a second separated me from my Father. This is what sin does to you, and this is what sin does to me. This is his perfect sacrifice. He came and paid that price. So now we could go behind the veil. Ain't nobody got to pray for you or pray for me. We could go behind the veil. We could go to the Lord in the power of prayer ourselves. Because of what Jesus did, because of the sacrifice that he made, if you have never realize how much Jesus Christ loved you, when you go through these seven things, it brings it so real, it brings it so live. Praise God, he was physically exhausted, taking over him. He was physically thirsty. This wasn't something that was just said. This physically happened. Remember, he just as he was all man, he was still all God. So he spoke out of a real human need. He spoke out of real thirst. But what happened? Look what they did. They took what they call gall, and they made this bitter tasting substance out of this plant of wormwood and myrrh. Look at here. As the word is called, it speaks of it in the scripture. And they tried to give Jesus this drink as he was being crucified. The Roman soldiers offered him this, this mixed up drink, this concoction. And look at here. What they were trying to do was to give him this drink so that the pain, to ease their pain, this mixture of this sour wine and gall were often given to the suffering, when you're suffering, when you're going through pain, as if you're in a hospital and a doctor gives you some anesthesia to take away the pain. This was here to give him, to take away that suffering, to ease the pain in his death. But look at here. Jesus committed, praise God. He refused this gall-laced concoction. He tasted it and he realized what it was. And look at here, this supernatural display of the courage that he's operating in. The Son of Man, he rejected anything. Look at here, I don't come this far. I'm not about to stop now. I'm not going to pay part of the price. I'm not going to pay some of the price. I'm not going to do a nibble on it. I'm going to pay the whole price. I'm going all the way. The Son of Man rejected anything that would numb the suffering he endured for our salvation. Good God Almighty. He took it full force. He loved you. Look at here. He didn't wait till we got it together. He didn't wait till we came out. The Word of God said, while we were yet sinners, while we were yet dropping it like it's hot, while we were yet doing our own thing, while we were yet sipping and tipping, look at here. He was laying his life down for us. Sin against a holy God. Look what it requires. This requires extreme punishment. And in order to completely fulfill, he had a high priest to fulfill. Nobody else qualified. Nobody. He was the only one that qualified to do it. And he had to fulfill this position as a substitute. Jesus wanted nothing. Look at here. He didn't want nothing that took away from that punishment. Look at this love. What greater love. There is, hear me tonight. Oh, good God Almighty. There is no greater love than the love he expressed to you and I, than the love that he showed on that cross when he laid his life down, when he gave it up so that you and I will receive the manifestation of our healing. So he gave it up that we could be delivered from the chains. Good God Almighty, the penalty and the power that sin brings with it. He gave it up, praise God, in the name of Jesus, so that the chains could be loosed, the shackles could be broken, and the captives could be free. On that cross, Jesus became sin for you and for I. And look at here, to accept this gall would lessen the punishment. If he had accepted this gall, this concoction that they mixed up, if he had accepted it, it would have lessened the sin's punishment. Jesus had come, look at here, he came, praise God, to bear it. He came to bear it. And let me tell you what he did. He bared the full brunt. Oh, the full brunt of God's wrath against sin. Not to take an easy way out. I didn't come to take an easy way out. I came to pay the whole price. So we need to consider today, if we don't know Jesus, if we don't know the Lamb of God and the soon returning King, we need to get to know him. Praise God. I bless his holy name. All that he did, include these seven things, all the way, praise God, until that Sunday morning when he got up with all power. Everything he did it out of love. It was love that took him to that cross. It was love that allowed him to allow the nails to go through his hand. It was love, praise God, that allowed blood and water to run from the piercing of his side. Whoa, my God, I thirst. I thirst out here in this hot sun. But look at here, for prophecy had to be fulfilled. And he fulfilled it, praise God. And we thank him today. He refused. Listen here, listen here. He said, I done took all this pain. I done come all this far. I'm going all the way. I'm not going to lessen it up. This sin that I committed, this sin that you committed, it put a heavy weight on Jesus. Nobody else qualified to open that door to clean us up from all the mess up we did so we would have a chance to hear what? Well done, thy good and faithful servant. I made you faithful over
a few things, and I'll make you faithful over many. He did it all. Never knew sin, never committed sin, shed an innocent blood. So now, praise God, the power of that blood says, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know that I know that I know I know. It was the blood for me. God bless you. God bless you, co-host. I'm truly enjoying these seven sayings all today. Getting late now in the hour where I'm trying to get these last two sayings in. Remember that I might have given you 10 minutes, but if you can, try to shorten a little bit so we can get through, so we can be able to wrap it all up within the hour that we have here live in on air. All right, listeners, now we're going to have our fifth saying. It's finished. And we're going to be bringing live into the studio with us now, elect lady evangelist Susan King. She'll be coming from John chapter 19, verses 29 through 30. But this time, Evangelist King, you may begin your presentation.
God bless you, Evangelist Chapman. I thank God for you giving me this door of utterance to speak the word of God. I praise God today for you all, my forerunners, that have left dust in my face. But let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. We're looking at the Bible today. It's talking about it is finished. Coming from the book of St. John, the 19th chapter, 30th verse, it says, so when Jesus had received sour wine, he said, it is finished, and bowing his head, he gave up the ghost. We thank God for the word finished. What you mean, King? Finished. Finished means complete. Nothing added on. We don't need an audition. We don't need nothing else necessary. We don't need bullocks and goats. We can go boldly to the throne of grace now. The prophecy of salvation is fulfilled. The commitment of God is Jesus dying on the cross. That was the commitment of God. He completed his mission. It's a done deal. You know how we say it's a done deal? His mission was completed. Praise the name of the God. Look, when he was in the garden, let's talk about that. He asked his father. He said, Father, if it's possible, let this bitter cup pass. And that's how some of us do today. We don't want to go all the way. We're going to say, well, I ain't got time for that. I'm not going no further. I don't need to take that. But he went all the way. He said, but let your will be done. And that's how we have to do today. We got to allow the will of the Lord to be done in our lives. Yes, we have bitter cups today. Amen. He was lied on. He was talked about. He went from judgment hall to judgment hall. Couldn't find no fault in him. Pilate's wife said, look, you better leave this man alone. I'm telling you, leave this thing alone. He was without fault. He done no sin. And after he said it was finished, the veil was ripped, and somebody cried out and said, surely, this was the Son of God. He went all the way, saints of God, being whipped all night long. Yeah, all night long, thorns in his head. Amen. They couldn't find no fault, but yet they persecuted him. Yeah, killed an innocent man. Sometimes folks out here shooting and killing and don't know that they're killing innocent people. But the salvation was a process. It was completed. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank God for Jesus today. Now we have a right, saints of God, to go to the throne of grace. And now we have a right to the tree of life. Praise the name of the Lord. He gave it all up for you and I. Praise God. Amen. After he said it's finished, the grave opened up. Come on here. Coming out of the grave, folk coming out of the grave. The sun refused to shine. Come on. The earth began to shake and rock. My God. The stars fell out of their silver sockets. Come on here. Praise God. It was the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. It was the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the Jehovah Jireh. Thank God for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, the first begotten of the dead. My God. The one who holds the seven stars in his right hand and the seven candlesticks. Praise the name of God. It was a finished work, saints of God. Thank God. What you mean, finished, King? It is a doctrine that locates sanctification at the time conversion, then the converted Christian has a growing process. Amen. We got to go all the way. He that didn't do it to the end, Shelby said, you can't start and stop this. You got to go all the way. Praise him, Lord. For the Son of Man came not to seek, but to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his mission, saints. If Judas would only knew who he was giving in, oh, God, help us today. Who he was saying, this is the one. If he only knew, he didn't come here to condemn the world, but that him, they might be saved. Thank God for Jesus. Somebody said, well, what was the significance of the cross? Amen. God sent his only begotten son into the world. He loved the world, God. He gave up Jesus. But guess what? Jesus said, Father, prepare me a body that I might go down and redeem man back to his holy estate. Man hasn't left, lost it, his holy estate. And God prepared Jesus to go down. Amen. So now on today, saints of God, we are somebody. I want you to know we are somebody today. He didn't die in vain. Thank God for Jesus. He didn't die in vain. Amen. Now we can go to the throne of grace and cry, Abba, Father. We are somebody on today. We are kings and priests. Thank God. We are more than a conqueror. Stop saying what you can't do. You can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens you. Thank God. You got to run the race, saints of God. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, my God, of your faith. You got to go all the way. Thank God for Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the good work he's begun in you, he's able to perform it. Don't give up now. It ain't no time to give up. You all see what's going on in the world today. The enemy is trying to make the saints of God fear. God is not giving us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Jesus went all the way. Don't let the enemy come in and steal your joy. The Bible said, let him that stole steal no more. Don't let him catch your joy. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. You got to watch and pray. For the days are evil. Thank God for Jesus. We're living in perilous times, thank God. Nobody wants to be holy. God said, I sanctified you. I sanctified you. I cleaned you up. I came not into the world to condemn you. You was already condemned. Thank God for Jesus. I didn't choose you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you. I chose you for this task. God has given us all a task. Amen. We all have a purpose in life. Amen. And we should go and bring forth fruit. And that's the fruit should remain. It ain't about you. Amen. But then again, it is about us because we're working together with him. He said, you that are working together with him. We got to bring in souls. That's what it's all about. Amen. We got to bring in the sheaves, saints of God. The prophecy of salvation has been fulfilled. It's finished. It's a done deal. You know, my mom used to say, look, go see if the cake is done. She used to make her get a dirty old straw off the broom. She said, stick that straw in that broom. And if that cake mix was still on that broom, that little straw, she said, it ain't finished. It ain't finished. It got to go a little longer. We got to go a little further, saints of God. We got to do the works of him that sent us. And then they'll be able to say, let the works I've done speak for me when I'm resting in my grave. There's nothing that can be said. Thank God for Jesus. Jesus left it all. He gave it up. He left his throne of glory and came down to us, a sinful world. Out there doing our thing. I don't know about you, but I'm saved today. Can you hear me out there in radio land? I say I'm saved on today. From Bobby, Peter, to Paul. Yeah. Thank God for Jesus. I came to him just as I was. Don't let the devil make you think that you ain't there. You ain't got it together. You can't go now. Come just like you are. Thank God for Jesus. He said, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden. I'm going to give you rest. Not the wine hole, not the Bible, not the dope, not the weed. I'm going to give you rest. Thank God for Jesus on today. It is already finished. We don't need to do any more, thanks of God. He's already paid the price. What more can he do? He laid the foundation, my God. Open up the way. What more can he do? He shed his blood all night long on Calvary's cross. Don't take God's blood in vain, saints of God. Don't take it in vain. And let me tell you, I don't prostrate the grace of God. The grace of God, grace, something we don't even deserve. We need to be horsewhipped. Some of us need to be horsewhipped. We're still doing our thing. While Jesus said, it is finished, we're still out there doing our thing. But you got to come to him. Come to him just like you are. In the name of Jesus. Every good work that he begun in you, he's able to perform it, saints of God. Yeah, he's able to perform it. It says that Jesus suffered in the flesh. Arm yourself likewise. Yeah, arm yourself. You're not greater than the master. You're not greater than the green tree. You got to suffer some things in this world. And you got to go all the way. You got to suffer persecution, lied on. But don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Yeah. He that endured to the end shall be saved.
Yeah. All right.
Thank God for Jesus on today. It is finished.
All right.
And God don't take no pleasure, no drawback spirit, saints. He don't take no pleasure. You got to go all the way. Thank God for Jesus today.
God
bless you.
We truly thank God for elect Lady Evangelist Susan King from Thessalonians Church of God in Christ right here in the city of New Orleans. Right, listen, you come now to the hour now. It's our 7:10, where we'll be having bringing the studio live with us at this time. We'll be bringing in the studio none other than Minister Diane Adams. And she will be bringing the last man falling into my hands. I commend my spirit. And she's going to watch the studio. She's going to wrap them all up for you. All of the same. And she'll be bringing it to a short conclusion. And then we will have Evander Susan King to come back to close us out in closing prayer. God bless you. Minister Adams, you can come and start your presentation at this time. I'm truly enjoying it, Shauna. We're running out of time, so I got to let her come on through. Minister Adams.
Thank you, Evangelist Chapman. It is always an honor and a privilege given by God for us to expound on his word. Today I have been given the assignment to speak on the last saying. And I pray that the Holy Spirit reveals the truth to us and what God wants us to realize from his writing. The scripture that has been given is Luke 23, and I'll read it at this time. And when Jesus has cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now, when we look at this, we know that Jesus is now hanging on a cross in Calvary. He has been beaten beyond recognition, nailed to the cross that he had to carry and displayed as a criminal. He was lied on, mistreated, yet he knew no sin. He was betrayed by one who was supposed to be his own, Judas, and denied three times by one that was his own, Peter. He looked down from the cross in his darkest hour for his 11 disciples and saw only one, John. In all of this, Jesus never said a mumbling word because he knew he had to suffer and die so that we may live. You see, Jesus, even though on the cross, dying in agony, pain, suffering, was still teaching from the cross. Take this opportunity to practice what he had preached. See, first by forgiving them, showing compassion, he took the pain of feeling separated from his Father, for it was written. And Jesus understood that no pain, there will be no gain. Then Jesus said, I thirst, remembering his humanistic side and thirsting for his fellowship with his Father. Then he said, it is finished. He was talking about his earthly assignment given to him by the Father in his body. Now he said, Father, I commend my spirit into thy hands. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Jesus said his earthly ministry is finished. But you see, his death has accomplished and fulfilled prophecy and law. He's now ready to do the work in heaven. You see, he even stated to us in John 14, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, also believe in me. He said, because in my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. Jesus is in heaven, preparing a place for prepared people. Now he wanted to be absent from the body, but present with the Lord. He is now in position, ready, willing, and able to perform his heavenly promises. He is now seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. He had to go to be there, dear God. Yes, now he has become our high priest, understanding all of our infirmities because he has walked in our shoes. He is now our Savior who has redeemed us, delivered us from the power of sin. He became our bridge over troubled water so that we can go to God for ourselves. He is our risen King, our Lord and Master who came to set the captives free. And he has accomplished everything in which it was spoken in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is up on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. You see, Jesus is now with the Father, working all things out for our good. We are no longer under the law, but grace, which gives us everything we don't deserve, and mercy holding back the punishment we do deserve. You got to remember the day, y'all. Jesus paid our debt penalty, and all to him we owe. Jesus is the risen Christ, and because he lives, we all can face tomorrow. We are no longer on death row walking as dead men walking. We are now heirs and joint heirs along with him. We are the children of God. By Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, we have hope that one day we will be with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit forever. And I just want to ask you this question today as I close. Who would not serve a Savior like that? And that's my message today. Glory be to God.
I bless you. God bless you now. Listen, we've come to the closing of our show for today, the last seven sayings. I truly enjoyed. I want to thank all of my guests for coming on today that really poured out their heart with representing Jesus there on the cross. His last saying. What a wonderful show on today. And I hope all of our listeners enjoyed each and every one of our guests. And I would come to the end of the show. We want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in on today. And we have just 2 minutes left of the show before actually let Lady Jackson come back and close us out in closing prayer. And as we leave the studio today, and as our listeners leave, I'm hearing the word of God. You and carry it and minister to others in Jesus' name. Closing prayer, Daniel Susan King. Thank you. Daniel Susan King, closing prayer. If she's not in the studio, then we're going to ask that our co-host, Evangelist Perkins, bring us out in a closing prayer.
Father, we thank you for everything. We thank you for everything our ears have heard, our eyes have seen, our heart has felt. We thank you so much for everyone and all of our guests on the line this evening, giving you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Thanking you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. This is the end of our show for today. God bless all of you, and goodbye now.
Goodbye.